listening to the CCA Podcast.
I'm Ryan. This is my beautiful wife, Linnea. We're the lead pastors here at Calvary, and we're just so delighted that you're with us this morning. Welcome, friends. Welcome, family. And we're most excited because we're a growing community of faith here at Calvary, and we're so glad that you're joining us this morning and a part of this great experience together in the presence of the Lord this morning. We're all about one thing here at Calvary. You need to know this. We're all about one thing, and that one thing is Jesus. That one thing is Jesus. That one person is Jesus. And you're going to find out real quick if this is your first or second time, whether it's feeding or clothing, whether it's housing, hospitalizing, educating, employing, encouraging, equipping, whatever way we possibly can, we're going to do whatever we can, starting here in Seattle and around the world in missions to help as many people both find and follow Jesus. So if we can agree on that, we're off to a good start. Yeah? Again, we're glad you're here. I got a question. This is Christmas season. This is our Christmas season here in Seattle. And don't you love how all the lights start coming up and the songs on the radio? And what's your favorite part of Christmas during this season?
So one of my favorite things when I was in college, I stayed local while all of my friends went away. And I always loved when they would come home. And as I'm looking out in the crowd, I'm seeing quite a few people who are on break right now. So I just want to welcome you back. I'd love to meet you after service. So just come up, hug us around the neck or do whatever. Or at least wave at a distance or text us hi, whatever works for you. But I just love that. It's all about reuniting, everybody coming back to home base and just being together again. That's my favorite part. And now we're in a different place where we're the ones who are gone, and we go back to Sacramento, and I have some nieces who are away at school, and they come back. And so the reunion aspect of Christmas is my favorite.
That's awesome. Well, you're my favorite. I love you. Thank you, baby. Anybody appreciate Pastor Linnea? Yeah, I know I do. And I want to let you guys know, too, we have family in town, David and Shelley and Lauren from Colorado. Would you, church family, would you welcome our family here today, too? Yeah, we welcome you in the name of the Lord. We're so glad. Guess where we're going for lunch, too, for brunch? I bet you can guess. Yeah. Portage Bay, my favorite. Well, this morning we're in our second week of Christmas at Calvary sermon series, and we're, again, delighted that you, family and friends, are here with us as we look at helping people both find and follow Jesus during the Christmas season. We're going to be looking this morning in the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter, and we're going to be looking at the portion of Scripture, the passage that talks about Jesus when he was presented in the temple. And we have a little video I want to show you this morning that reads through the text that we're going to be extrapolating and talking about here together. Let's check out this video in terms of Jesus being presented in the temple.
After 8 days, the time came for him to be circumcised, and they named him Jesus, which was what the angel had said to call him before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of their purification were over, according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be called holy to the Lord. They also went in order to offer a sacrifice, as the law of the Lord says, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man who was waiting for Israel to be comforted, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Through the influence of the Spirit, he went into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus in to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Master, you are letting your servant depart in peace, as you promised in your word. Because with my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all peoples to see, a light bringing revelation for the nations and honor for your people Israel. Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This one is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that is spoken against. So the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And as for you, a sword will pierce through your own soul." In the temple, there was also a prophetess called Anna, the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was very old, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow for 84 years. She never left the temple, worshiping God with fasting and prayers, night and day. She came to them at that very moment and gave thanks to God, and began to speak about the child to all those who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished all that the law of the Lord required, Joseph and Mary returned to their own city of Nazareth in Galilee. The boy grew and became strong and full of wisdom, and the grace of God was with him.
So as we look at the Holy Scripture this morning, I want to remind us here this morning, Calvary, that the good news and the great joy of Christmas is that Jesus saves all who will believe in him. This morning, the good news and the great joy of Christmas is that Jesus saves all who believe in him. This is the big idea this morning. And I heard this story not too long ago about a father and his children, and he loved playing with his children, especially during the Christmas season. They would do things like play Skip-O, and they'd play war and different card games of such, and they loved doing it around the fireplace, and sometimes they'd make cookies and other times they'd make hot chocolate, but whether it was watching movies or playing games, they just loved connecting together. Well, one afternoon, the father decided to do an activity that was a little bit different with the children, and he took them to the staircase, a flight of 15 stairs, and at the top he stood, and he said, "Up here represents life." And at the bottom, the children stood, and he says, "Down there represents death." And he says, "Here's the name of the game. You have to get to me, but you can't use the stairs, you can't use the walls, and you can't use the railing. Oh, and by the way, you have about 90 seconds to figure it out. Go." And so the kids are talking amongst each other. Well, how do we do it? They're looking at the clock, and their time is already going by. And before you know it, they're already halfway through the clock. And they're thinking, well, what do we do? And all of a sudden, one little boy, his youngest son, he stood up. He said, Dad, he says, "I believe you're the only way to the top." And he said, "Dad, my confidence is in you. I'm trusting you. Would you come help us? Because we can't figure it out." The dad smiled. He walks down the stairs and one by one throws him on his back, gives him a piggyback ride up the stairs. I love hearing that story because it reminds me to discover my need for help and to believe in a heavenly Father who provides it. All I've got to do is simply ask. This morning, the big idea is the good news and great joy of Christmas is that Jesus saves all who believe in him. We look at this text, and this week in my devotions, I was so taken back by this text. There are three different characters that are mentioned in the narrative that we've read this morning. And I want to give you three examples this morning of how to keep Jesus at the center. It's in your notes. Everybody should have gotten notes when you came in this morning. I'd invite you to take them out now and let's fill these in together. Number one, three examples of how to keep Jesus at the center during the Christmas season. Number one, believe like Mary believed. The story of Mary, you don't have to read very far in the Gospels. It fulfills the story of God. What is that story? To save us. Luke narrates this. I love, he starts the Gospel of Luke by saying, "So you can be certain." Why am I writing? I'm writing so you can be certain. Circle that. So you can be certain in your notes of the truth of everything you were taught. John articulates it this way in his gospel. He says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I love the tone of Luke, Dr. Luke, his writing. It's so mesmerizing in such a way because he writes as an outsider. He's the only Gentile in an all-Jewish cast of New Testament writers. And as you read Luke's writing, I can't help but think maybe at some point he probably felt either isolated or like he was an outsider. And the reason I say that is because of who he focuses on in his writing. He pinpoints those that Jesus focused on, the outsiders, the outcasts, the women in the day, the sheep herders, the racially diverse people in the text of Holy Scripture, the poor, those without. Luke pinpoints and he targets with how he articulates who believed. In the face of isolated uncertainty, we read this scripture last week. Blessed is she who has what? Believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. This is Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. Blessed is she who has believed. Could you imagine how isolated and alone Mary must have felt? Just put yourself, women, in her shoes for a minute. And you have to tell the man that you're supposed to marry, that you're pregnant, but you promise it was God. I'm serious. You gotta trust me, Joseph, right? Isolated. We talked about last week how Mary goes back and forth with the angel and ends with a response of, as you say, let it be. Blessed is she who has, say it with me, believed. Luke believes. He articulates through the gospel that Jesus was born for the outsiders. He was born for the poor. The text this morning talks about a pair of doves or two young pigeons. You have to understand that this small offering is articulated because it was the kind that was prescribed for the poor. Luke articulates a quote-unquote lack of with this young poor couple. But this morning, where do you feel lack? Where do you feel maybe perhaps that you've come up short? Finances, relationships, education, experience. Where do you feel that you have lack? But the gospel of Jesus says that where all humanity lacks, God sent a Savior. I bring you good news of great joy, Calvary, that will be for all people. If you're breathing this morning, this message is for you. If your heart is beating this morning under the sound of my voice and your ears are awake, you're part of that all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. I like to write my name right there where it says you. A Savior has been born to Ryan. A Savior has been born, fill in your name. What is that name? Who is that name? Scripture says, behold, he was named Jesus. The original language, look here. Can anybody read that? I didn't think so. Well, maybe a couple people in here can. What does the name of Jesus mean? I bet you can read this. Jehovah, salvation, Son of God, Savior of mankind, God incarnate. Oh, the mystery of it all, friends. But what a Savior we have in Jesus. Son of God, the Savior of mankind, God incarnate. I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it this way. He says, God in his totality and sovereign majesty is this incarnate one who meets us in Jesus. This morning, you're looking for hope. We find it in Jesus. This morning, you're looking for joy. We find it in Jesus. This morning, you're looking for answers and you're looking for peace. We find it in Jesus. God in his totality and sovereign majesty is this incarnate one who meets us in Jesus. He's here to meet your deepest need. The deepest, most recessed places in your heart. God, do you realize God came in the form of Jesus to prove himself for you? Amen. He loves you that much. Our faith in Jesus gives us help for today and hope for tomorrow. And you know what I love? It's for all eternity. So just as he was named Jesus in the text, I want to encourage you this morning, name him Jesus over your life. Name him Jesus in that situation that you're in right now, because you name him Jesus there, he's your Savior. He's God incarnate. He's God among you. Emmanuel, living in your situation, walking through your circumstance right there with you. See, sometimes I've learned in the early morning hours before anyone's up and I'm sitting there sipping coffee with Jesus, I've learned that a simple faith sometimes can only respond with a whisper, Jesus. 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 You just breathe his name in. This week I was texted. It was so cool. One of my friends texted me a YouTube clip of a song. It's Martha Moniz's Say the Name. And her and Clint Brown did a duet years ago. It's an older song. But the lyrics were just what I needed to hear. You ever have a song like that? It comes in a song form sometimes where he'll speak to you through a friend. That's Jesus wanting to be right there with you. He speaks in unusual ways, and sometimes it's through a YouTube song. Isn't that cool? It's kind of fun, actually. But it says, say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. No other name I know that can calm your fears, that can dry your tears, that can wipe away your pain when you don't know what else to pray. When you don't know and you can't find the words to say, just say the name. He's going to make a way when you say, Jesus. When you don't know what else to pray, when you can't find the words to say, when you can't make it through another day, Jesus. So why is the Father so infatuated with us? What is it about me? Ever ask yourself that? What is it about me, really, that you would send your son to die for me? For us? Jesus says it this way. He says, for my Father's will is that everyone Everyone who looks to the Son and what? Say it. Believes in him shall have eternal, say it, life. God wants every one of us to experience life. There's dead places that you're dealing with right now in your life, and God wants to be named Jesus over that dead situation. He wants everyone to experience his life starting now. This is not just a get out of jail, hell free card. This is starting now, right now in 2019, on the cusp of 2020. He wants you, my friend, to experience life like you've never experienced it before. That music was perfect timing right there, by the way. That was like, da, 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 we're just being ushered up. Three examples of how to keep Jesus at the center. Believe like Mary. Believe, number two, praise like Simeon praised. I love this biblical character and this narrative around Simeon. The Bible describes the character of Simeon as such. This is so cool. It says he was a righteous and devout man. He was all about doing the next right thing. Righteousness. Are you all about doing the very next right thing? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for a Savior to bring comfort, to bring relief. He had been waiting a long time. The Scripture says the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was set apart. You know, as a Christ follower, you're set apart for a purpose. You have a specific purpose. You have a fingerprint like none other, and he set you apart for such a time as this. Set apart. And then the Scripture says that Simeon would not die before he had seen the Christ. This was a promise that God had given him. Is there anything in your life that you know is from God? It's a promise he's given you and you have yet to see it. Is there anything like that in your life? Well, you can relate to Simeon. I've got stuff like that all over my narrative. So Simeon took him, speaking of Jesus, in his arms. And what did he do? He praised God, saying. This is so cool because you have to understand, this is one of five songs around the birth of Christ. Simeon's song is one of them, one of five. And here's what Simeon says. Here's the song. Here's the praise. Here's the gratitude and the thanksgiving, the welling up of joy within Simeon as he's holding. It's a terrible baby impersonation, I know. Horrible. What? It was a duck. Huh? I was trying to sound like a lamb. As he's holding Jesus, what does he say? Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, God's going to bring those promises in your life to fruition. He said it. He's going to do it. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. He's the Prince of Peace, the prophet said. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He had waited a long time, and he's holding that baby in his arms. I've seen your salvation, God, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Luke writes in there, a light for revelation to the outsiders, the misfits, the marginalized, the poor, the women, those who don't have position or power. He's putting them in there. He says, you're a light for revelation to the Gentiles, the outsiders, and for the glory, the public display to your people, Israel. And he praises God. And he prays with prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving for the Savior he's holding. His praise was an overflow response to both answered prayer and unanswered prayer, I might add, because he says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. He knew there was much to come in this Savior's life, as he articulates later. much to come of this Savior. It was like Paul when he said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, as you believe in him, as you're confident in him, so that you may what? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's as if this song was overflowing hope, just come bubbling up and coming out of Simeon. Now for you and I to join in his song and to praise. You have to understand what's coming from Simeon. You have to understand the heart of what he's singing and articulating in this song. That there had been 400 plus years of silence, of prophetic silence, since Malachi's word regarding Jesus. 400 years. Now that's a long time to wait for a promise to be fulfilled. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I don't like to wait. I mean, I don't like to wait 90 seconds at a red light. Come on. I don't like to wait in the drive-thru at Starbucks. I'm like, man, did the cappuccino machine break? Or what's going on in there? I mean, I don't like to wait. Do you? Come on. You're looking at me like, well, yes, Pastor Ryan, I love to wait. I pick the longest line at Costco when I go during the holiday season because I like to wait. I can't relate to that point. None of us, right? Come on. We don't like, how long have you been waiting for a promise God's given you in your life to be fulfilled? How long have you been waiting for healing? How long have you been waiting for breakthrough in a child who's not serving the Lord? How long have you been waiting for something you know God's given you in your heart of hearts? It's going to happen. Simeon sings. He sings because he sees an answer to a prayer that's been prayed over and over and over. And this song, I love it, being one of the five songs sung around Jesus' birth. Simeon's song was sung in the sight of all people, Scripture says. Paul goes on to articulate why, because it's for the salvation of everyone who believes, who's confident in, and who trusts. So this morning, I want to encourage you, would you praise like Simeon praised? Would you join the song at Christmas time around a Savior by the name of Jesus who came to save the world? Did you know God sees your situation and he has a really good plan? Now, I don't like waiting, and I know you don't like waiting, but this morning, are you trusting God's timing over your understanding? Simeon yields to the Spirit in intimate relationship. I love how Scripture articulates that. Moved by the Spirit, Simeon went. He went here. He was moved by the Spirit in his happenings. I use my imagination, and if I could just be a fly on the wall and just at that time just see and just imagine with me the what it smelled like, what it looked like, what was around the narrative at the time. And I picture Simeon just in this quiet confidence, trusting God day after day after day, frustrated with things and praying through stuff but quietly confident. I picture Simeon as patiently waiting for his true Savior Jesus. And I picture Simeon in full outward, momentous, expectant praise, knowing Jesus as he's holding him is the universal Savior. I love Simeon's story because it's so short, but it's so poignant. It's a testimony to you and me. It's a testimony to our great city of Seattle. It's a testimony to the world that God keeps his promises. And that no matter how long you've been waiting for the fulfillment, he will do it. Do your words reflect Jesus and lead others to him like Simeon's? I love this. It says, Simeon blessed them, speaking of Joseph and Mary. And he said, this child is destined to And he goes on, and the scripture that was read to us earlier in the video, he goes on to explain and to prophetically announce what Jesus will be used to do. The rising of some, the falling of others. And then he goes on and he tells Mary, Mother Mary, he says it will be as if this, that the happenings, it will be as if a sword piercing your soul. In other words, it's not easy. Let me tell you, when you get your answer, there's going to be some responsibility that goes with it. I want to speak this especially to new Christians, because when you become a Christian, a lot of times we think, I said yes to Jesus, I'm following him. It's going to be a life of roses. No more anything bad ever happens to me. And no, Simeon said it's going to be like a sword piercing the very soul as you watch your son murdered on a cross. You see that answer? There's responsibility to raise the very Savior, to look in his eyes, to smell his breath, to feed him day in and day. The responsibility of the answer sometimes, folks, is too much for a lot of us to bear. Responsibility of the answer. But Jesus, as Savior, is right there with you. And when you get the answer, and if you wait longer than expected for the answer, Jesus, in both scenarios, is right there with you. This is the message of Emmanuel. This is the message of believing, being confident in, and trusting Jesus. Because Scripture says the prophetic blessing revealed the destiny of Jesus. And Jesus, if you read and fast forward in the Scripture, he goes on and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." You remember this text? The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to what? To preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. These are the words of Jesus proclaiming the famous Isaiah prophecy. And so that sounds real good. That all sounds great. Yes, freedom, favor. Good news, blessing, yeah, woo! Does that sound good to anyone else? That sounds pretty good to me. But the same prophet also said, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. It's like the worst, best thing when you read these scriptures, the tension of murder and death, but life that comes out of it. It's a mystery. Do you believe in Jesus this morning? Do you believe? Do you put your confidence 100% in it? Do you trust his word? Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus born to live, to die, to live again for our sin debt. Jesus. So with the hope of Jesus in his arms, no, I'm not going to try to be a baby again. Simeon praises. Will you praise like Simeon praised? Will you believe like Mary believed? And the third character I love, will you speak of Jesus like Anna spoke? Three scriptures in the Word of God. Three scriptures about Anna. I love this. Again, pinpointing a woman character, because Luke articulates throughout his gospel and the text, whatever your theologized position of women in the pastoral office, one cannot acknowledge Mary as the mother of Jesus without also affirming women were designed to share in sacred ministry. Now, I know this can be a hot topic for some in the church, but we see it again when we look at the story of Anna, how she was used as an instrument, as a woman, as part of the sacred ministry of bringing the message of Jesus to you and me. Thus, the Bible describes the character of Anna as such, a prophetess. Again, anointed, set apart. Love that. It says she was very old. Does anybody in here this morning just feel very old? Now, I know you're going to look at me and go, yeah, son, I got like double the time on you. But I'm sorry. The struggle's real. Sometimes we feel old. Sometimes we're tired. The Bible articulates Anna as very old. Married 7 years, widowed until she was 84. I think, man, Anna was, she was strong. She was a strong, she'd been through some stuff, right? I love this. The Bible articulates, says she worshiped, fasted, and prayed. She was disciplined. She was extremely disciplined. New International Version says that she never left the temple. Like any chance the church was open, she was there. I mean, how cool is that, right? Super disciplined. Fasted, prayed, worshiped day in and day out. Like all of Israel who had waited centuries for a Savior, we see Anna as one in her 80s who never stopped believing. This is an important point because we talk about what we believe. We articulate what we believe. It doesn't take very long to be in a conversation with somebody to find out what they believe is truth, to find out what they're living by, how they navigate through their day. You just listen to somebody. Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to hear what somebody believes, you just listen to them talk. Against all hope, Scripture says. I look at Anna and I say, she's like that Abraham character. I'm going to believe regardless of what happens. And Abraham, and all against all hope, Abraham in hope, what does it say? Say it with me. Believed. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. There's some of us in here this morning, we're this close. And I want to encourage you, don't stop believing. If the band was up here, I'd be like, fire up the Journey song and let's rock it. Don't stop, but you're so against all hope, the Bible says, Abraham, in hope, believe. What if it's tomorrow? Don't stop believing. Put your confidence in God. Put your confidence in him. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep showing up to church. Look at Anna in her 80s. Nothing could stop this woman. Hope in God. Keep the faith. Don't stop believing. Our memorization scripture, I picked a real, real long one here this week for you. Super long because we're all busy. So on your stop doubting and believe. That's a long scripture to memorize this week. I know. But look at that message in the words of Jesus. Stop doubting and believe. See, you and I, we know we do. We pray about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Then we go tell 8 people why it's not going to happen. Because the news says this, and look at the weather, and the wind's blowing south today, and you know how we do. Stop doubting. Stop doubting. Believe. This is such a simple message. But why did Jesus have to say it so much? Stop doubting, he says, and believe. So in her latter years, I love this because Anna, she sees this young couple in the church. She goes right up to him. She goes right up to him. She sees Mary and Joseph. She sees baby Jesus. And I love how Anna assumed her faith influence on a rising generation. This morning, do you share, whatever your age is, do you share in this with Anna? Do you see somebody younger than you? Somebody you can invest in, somebody you can speak encouragement into, somebody you can speak life into, someone you can speak the promise of God into. I love this about Anna and the 3 little verses that we get about her. She up at 80 years old, whether with a walker or a cane, or whether she tried, well, however she got to him, she said, I got one thing on my mind. You have influence. You have influence in this church. I'm standing here telling you right now in this 92-year young church, you have influence in people that need to hear your voice. And here's just some quick little lessons, and we're closing with this. These are some Jesus lessons from Anna's brief story. The three little scriptures that we have on her. The Lord's silence, number 1, is our opportunity to pray. Well, I haven't heard from him. I've been praying about it for years. Keep praying. Well, I fasted. You know, Pastor Ryan tells me on Wednesdays to jump in with the intercessors, and if I can fast one meal on Wednesdays before prayer meeting at 6 p.m., which we meet in the chapel, right there, one of my favorite rooms in the whole. Pastor Ryan tells, yeah, just I've tried fasting and that didn't work. Try again. The Lord's silence is our opportunity to pray. But God, this is the third time around my dad's had cancer. Pray again. Amen. Don't let the silence of God be what stops you from praying. That could be the very thing that you need in your life to experience breakthrough. Pray. Number two, the Lord's provision is our opportunity to give thanks. It articulates, the scripture articulates that she gave thanks. She gave thanks. She had spirit of gratitude in her. This holiday season, I know there's many stories in here. Many people have gone through very difficult things in here. I understand. And the holidays for some, the Christmas season can represent immense joy. On the juxtaposition for others, it can represent death. It can represent hurt. It can represent pain. It can represent anguish and agony. And I understand that. I understand the aches. I understand the pains. But this woman, we don't know. Maybe she had arthritis. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she had health issues. Maybe she didn't. But what we know is she was really old, because it says she was really, really old. And so whatever pain you're dealing with this, don't let that pain be the thing that robs your joy. You know, this morning alone, you and I are going to have many opportunities to give away our joy before we even walk out. Don't let anything take your joy. Don't let anything take your thing. Are your ears awake this morning? Listen, this is when God gave this word to me, listen, this is important. It's an opportunity to give thanks. Your struggle, your issue, the trouble, it's an opportunity to give thanks. Well, why would I give thanks when it doesn't feel good? Because the psalmist David said, thanks is the offering that prepares the way for the salvation of the Lord. So as she saw Jesus, and she goes right to him, and she's giving thanks. Number three, the Lord's story is our opportunity to share Jesus. His story is our opportunity to share Jesus with Seattle, starting in our family, starting right here in church and out in these highways and byways in the streets. When we go to lunch today, we go to brunch, wherever you go after church, it's an opportunity to share the story of Jesus. Look what scripture says. She, speaking of Anna, spoke about the child Jesus to all who were looking forward to the redemption. Did you know that there are people all around Seattle who need Jesus? They're looking. They're seeking. They're at the bottom of the stairwell talking as agnostics and atheists. And what do we do? How are we going to get to the top? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Well, we do that strategizing and structure, and we're trying to figure out how do I find relationship? How do I get satisfaction in my life? There's a lot of people looking for answers. And the clock is ticking. What are we going to do? There are people all around us. And so what did Anna do? She says, the Word of God says, she spoke about the child Jesus. All you have to do is talk about Jesus. Take the focus off you. Just talk about Jesus. That's why we have the missions emphasis month. Because we're all about being a community of generous outreach. A generous community focused on mission Matthew 28. And you have this. You have every missionary that we support in your missions pamphlet this morning. And why are we pushing this? So we can raise a bunch of money and say, yay, we did it. No, that's actually the exact opposite reason why. We're doing it because there are people who need to hear the name of hope. And that name is Jesus. There are people starting here in Seattle who go to bed at night and they don't know they're loved. Who wake up the next morning and don't know that there's hope. That has to change. I'm sorry. That has just got to change. And it does when we get the name Jesus right on out there. because Jesus is hope and Jesus is love, and it turns the light on for some, for all, for you, for me. And so this month in missions, again, dig deep. Every week, Linnea and I are digging deep. Every single week in December. I'm not going to tell you the amount that we're doing, but we're digging deep. We're digging real deep. Okay? Why? To help people find and follow Jesus. Pastor Ryan, what are you saying? I'm saying we're giving above and beyond our tithe. We're giving above and beyond our offering. We're giving above and beyond, not to Calvary, but through Calvary, so we can support missions and have a jump start on taking on 20 new missionaries. Is that fun to anyone else besides me? I mean, that is just exciting that we can spread the name of Jesus starting here in Seattle and around the world. What is Jesus asking you to do in response to him? Think of Anna this morning in those three verses of text. What is Jesus asking you to do in response to him? I want to encourage you, find and follow Jesus, but don't stop there. Share him with those around you. Here's a sharing Jesus 101, and I'm done. We're going to close with this. Look at this. I love this. Look at this quote. Here's how you do it. We point to someone else who is above us. That's all you got to do. We just point. When people ask questions, man, what's different about you? You're always like so happy. Not in a creepy way, I hope. You know, hey, can I tell you about someone I know? I mean, don't be creepy, you know. Why are you so happy? There's something different about you. There's something, like, what's that all about? Jesus. I know Jesus. I had coffee with him this morning. I talked with him this morning. You know what he wanted me to tell you? That he loves you. And that there's hope. Don't ever stop believing in Jesus. He's your hope. He's your life. He's your peace. Because Calvary Christian Assembly, he'll save your life. A lot of us in this room, we're looking, man, how are we going to get to the top of the stairs? My situation is, it has death written all over it. My time's ticking. I'm not in my 20s anymore. How do I get to life? I've prayed. I've fasted. I've tried. Here's how. Jesus, I need your help. I have full assurance, and I've got faith this morning in you. I'm persuaded to believe in you. Father, would you help me? Would you bring life to my situation? I'm completely confident in you and none other. I can't get there. I can't figure it out. But Lord, my faith says you can. Lord, help. Would you pray with me? Every head bowed and eye closed this morning. God, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your presence, Lord, to study your word, Lord, to celebrate you, Jesus. This morning, God, I'm remembering all my brothers and sisters in here who are walking through difficulty. I'm remembering those this morning, God, as you gave me this word this week. I had such a wonderful time, Jesus, God, with you, revealing your hope and revealing truth. You are really good, God, and this morning, in obedience to you, Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord, I'm preaching the best I can, God, what you told me to tell your people. Don't stop believing. And if you don't believe, hopefully today's the day that you begin to follow Jesus. And so with every head bowed and eye closed, I want to extend an invitation. And God, this is an invitation from God. This isn't my invitation. This isn't an invitation to join Calvary and to be part of a club. This is an invitation from God Almighty to follow Jesus. Because the good news and great joy of Christmas is that Jesus saves all who believe in him. And this morning, men, women, boys, and girls who don't have joy or peace in their life will spend an entire lifetime as that time ticks by. We'll spend an entire lifetime trying to find joy, trying to find peace, trying to find hope, trying to find life and everything possible. And I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I've looked in substance abuse, and I've looked in overeating. I've looked in undereating. I've looked in power and position. I've looked in education. I've tried to find joy and peace in a lot of places. Sex, come on, you name it. But you know what I found? I found the only place that I find hope and love and life place in my relationship with Jesus. So this morning at the count of three, if you want to follow Jesus and you say, I want to make that decision, Pastor Ryan, this is maybe my first or second time that I'm doing it. I want to lift my hand and I'm serious about it today. I'm all in. If that's you at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I only ask you to raise your hand so I know who to pray for because I love you, okay? That's the only reason I'm asking you to raise your hand. One, two, three, raise it up if you want to accept Jesus. Yeah, good. I see. Yep. Any others? Yep, I see that hand. Yeah. Any others that say this morning? One, two, three. Yep. Four. Uh-huh. Five. Yep, I see it. Any others? This morning, you say, I'm fully persuaded. I believe in Jesus. Praise God. Let me pray for those five that raised their hands. God, I ask this morning, Lord Jesus, and you can pray this prayer with me, okay? Those who raise your hand, just pray this prayer in your heart with me. Lord, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for bringing hope to my life. Thank you for bringing hope to my life. Thank you for bringing hope this morning. I need you. I've needed this. I really, really needed this. I'm thankful. And I pray to you now, Jesus, come into my life. I follow you wholeheartedly. Would you help me day in and day out? Help me, Jesus. I love you. Forgive me of my sins and God, cleanse me and wash me and help me to do the right thing. I wanna do the right thing moving forward. And I believe it's with you. So I say yes to Jesus and I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Secondly, every head bowed and eye closed still. If you're just going through a tough season right now, I feel like I need to just offer this. If you're going through a tough season and you just want somebody to say a word of blessing and prayer over you, would you just throw your hand up real quick? Come on, saints. You're just walking through some stuff and you need some encouragement. Yep, good. I see those hands. Yep, you're walking through. It's hard. It's tough. Good. Yep, and you believe in Jesus and you're like, yeah, but would you just pray a prayer of encouragement over me? Good. Pastor Linnea is going to pray this prayer of encouragement. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. And we're going to pray this together and believe for encouragement in the saints. And I just want to say one more thing to all those in this place under the sound of my voice. Jesus, by believing in Jesus, he will make a way where there seems to be no way. We see it in the answered prophecies. We see it in the biblical narrative. We see it over and over and over and over. And be encouraged this morning that if God said it, he will do it. Keep believing. Don't stop believing. Keep standing in faith. And if you do this, I declare and say over you, may you be blessed by the strong hand of Jesus this morning. Pastor Linnea, would you pray?
Lord, we pray for those who raised their hand and even those who didn't but wanted to. Lord, we pray that you would be the lifter of our burdens. God, this is such a difficult season for so many. It's very polarizing, and God, it can be such a reminder of loss. Or sometimes these seasons are hard just financially and relationally. There's just so much to it. And I pray, God, that you would come in and intervene on our behalf. Lord, that we would just find rest, restoration, and wholeness in you alone, God. God, in this moment, we don't want to leave here until business has been settled. And Father, settle that in our hearts, that even though we walk through the shadow of death, you are close by. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. They protect me, Lord. You make me lie down in green pastures, Lord. We lay down in that place of rest in you. In the midst of our struggle, we rest in you and know that, God, we are resting. You are at work. You're working on our behalf, and we trust in you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.